February 22, 1924. God enjoyed the pure joys of creation until man sinned. Then, when the Most Holy Virgin came to the light, and when the Word came upon earth, He will enjoy them finally when the creatures will live in the divine will. For this reason He chose Louisa as the beginning and model, depositing in her this new celestial and divine law. I was thinking about what is written above, and I said to myself, is it possible that the Blessed Lord, after so many centuries, has not enjoyed the pure joys of creation, and that He was waiting for the living in the divine will in order to receive these joys, this glory, and the purpose for which everything was created? Now, while I was thinking of these and other things, my sweet Jesus made Himself seen in my interior, and through a light He sent to my intellect, He told me, my daughter, I did enjoy the pure joys of creation, my innocent amusements with the creatures, but at intervals, not continuously. And when things are not stable and continuous, they increase sorrow even more, make one fidget more to enjoy them again, and one would make any sacrifice to render them permanent. First, I enjoyed the pure joys of creation when, after I had created everything, I created man, until he sinned. There was highest accord, common joys, innocent amusements, between him and us. Our arms were always open to embrace him, to give him new joys and new graces. And in giving, we amused ourselves so much as to make a continuous feast for us and for him. For us, to give is to rejoice, it is happiness, it is amusement. As soon as he sinned and broke his will from ours, everything ended, because the fullness of our will was no longer in him, and therefore the current which enables giving and continuing the life of mutual happiness, was missing. More so, since our will was missing in him, and therefore he lacked the capacity and the safeguard to keep our gifts. Second, we enjoyed the pure joys of creation when, after many centuries, the Immaculate Virgin came to the light of day. Because she had been preserved from even a shadow of sin, and possessed all the fullness of our will, since there had been not a shadow of fracture between her and us, between our will and hers, our joys, our innocent amusements, were returned to us. She brought to us all the feasts of creation on her lap, and we gave her so much and enjoyed so much in giving as to enrich her every instant with new graces, new contentments, new beauty. So much so, that she could not contain more. But the creature Empress did not last long on earth. She came into heaven, and we could not find another creature in the low world to perpetuate our amusements and bring us the joys of creation. Third, we enjoyed the joys of creation when I, Eternal Word, descended from heaven and took on my humanity. Ah, by possessing the fullness of my will, my beloved Mama had opened currents between heaven and earth, putting everyone in feast, heaven and earth. And being in feast, for love of a creature so holy, the Divinity made me be conceived in her virginal womb, giving her divine fecundity, so as to let me fulfill the great work of redemption. If there had not been this excelling Virgin, who had primacy in my will, and lived a perfect life in my volition, since she lived in it as if she did not have her own will, therefore putting in circulation the joys of creation and our feasts, the Eternal Word would never have come upon earth to fulfill the redemption of mankind. See then, how the greatest thing, the most important, the most pleasing, that which attracts God the most, is to live in my will. And one who lives in it, wins over God, and makes God give out gifts so great as to astonish heaven and earth, gifts, which for centuries and centuries could not be obtained. Oh, how my humanity, while being on earth and containing the very life of the Supreme Volition, which was, still more, inseparable from me, brought to the Divinity, in a complete way, all the joys, the glory, the exchange of love of the whole creation. And the Divinity was so delighted that it gave me primacy over all, and the right to judge all peoples. Oh, what good the creatures obtained, in knowing that their own brother, who had loved them so much and had suffered so much to save them, was to become their judge. In seeing the whole purpose of creation enclosed in me, the divinity, as though stripping itself of everything, conceded me all rights over all creatures. But my humanity passed into heaven, and no one remained on earth to perpetuate the living in the divine volition, one who, rising above everyone and everything, in our will, would bring us pure joys, allowing us to continue our innocent amusements with a terrestrial creature. Therefore, our joys were interrupted, our amusements broken on the face of the earth. On hearing this, I said, "My Jesus, how can it be as you say? It is true that our mama went to heaven, as also your humanity did. But did you not bring the joys with you, so as to be able to continue your innocent amusements in heaven with your celestial father?" And Jesus, "The joys of heaven are ours and no one can take them away or diminish them, but those that come from earth, we are in the act of acquiring them, and the amusement is formed in the very act of the new gains. The victory or the loss produce for us the joys of the gain or the sorrow of the defeat. Now let's come to us, my daughter. When I came upon earth, man was so glutted with evil and so full of human will that the living in my will could find no place. So, in my redemption, first I beseech the grace of resignation to my will for him, because in the state in which he was incapable of receiving the greatest gift, the living in my will. Then I beseeched for him the greatest grace, as crown and fulfillment of all graces, the living in my will, so that our pure joys of creation and our innocent amusements would begin their course again on the face of the earth. See, about 20 centuries have passed since the true and pure joys of creation were interrupted, because we have not found sufficient capacity, total stripping of the human will, to be able to entrust the property of our will. Now, in order to do this, we had to choose a creature who would be most close to and familiar with the human generations. Had I placed my mama as the example, they would have felt very distant from her, and would have said, "How could she not live in the divine will, since she was exempt from any stain, even from origin?" Therefore, they would have shrugged their shoulders, and would not have given it a thought. And if I had placed my humanity as example, they would have been even more scared, and would have said, "Tachi was God and man, and since the divine will was his own life, there is no wonder that he lived in the supreme will. Therefore, so that this living in my will could have life in my church, I had to go down the stairs, descend further, and choose a creature from her midst, providing her with sufficient graces, and making my way within her soul. I had to empty her of everything, making her understand the great evil of the human will, so that she would abhor it so much as to choose death rather than do her own will. Then, giving her my divine will as gift, assuming the attitude of a master, I made her understand all the beauty, the power, the effects, the value, and the way to live in my eternal will. I established in her the law of my will, so that she could live in it. I acted as in a second redemption, in which I established the gospel, the sacraments, and the teachings as primary life, in order to be able to continue redemption. Had I not left any foundation, to what could the creatures cling? What to do? Just so did I for the living in my will. How many teachings did I not give you? How many times did I not lead you by the hand in eternal flights in my will? And you, flying over the whole creation, brought the pure joys of creation to the feet of the divinity, and we amused ourselves with you? Now, having chosen a creature who apparently has no great disparity from others, they will take courage. Finding the teachings, the way, and knowing the great good contained in the living in my will, they will make it their own. In this way the pure joys of creation and our innocent amusements will no longer be broken on the face of the earth. Though there should be but one for each generation to live in our will, it will always be a feast for us. And during feasts there is always a greater display, and one is more generous in giving. Oh, how many goods will they obtain on earth, while their Creator plays on its surface? Therefore, my dear daughter, Be attentive to my teachings, because it is about letting me establish a law, not terrestrial, but celestial. Not a law of mere sanctity, but a divine law, a law which will no longer allow distinction between terrestrial and celestial citizens. A law of love, a law which will destroy everything that can prevent even a shadow on the union between the creature and her creator, and will put all his goods in common, removing from her all weaknesses and miseries of original sin. The law of my will put so much strength in the soul that it will serve as sweet enchantment, in such a way as to put to sleep the evils of nature and substitute them with the sweet enchantment of the divine goods. Remember how many times you saw me write in the depth of your soul. It was the new law of the living in my will. And first I delighted in writing it, in order to expand your capacity, and then I took the attitude of a master in order to explain it to you. How many times have you not seen me taciturn and pensive in the depth of your soul? It was the great crafting of my will that I was forming in you. And seeing me not speak, you lamented that I no longer loved you. Ah, it was exactly then that, pouring out upon you, my will enlarged your capacity, confirmed you in it, and I loved you the most. Therefore, do not want to investigate anything of what I do, but rest, sure, always in my will.